Hello, welcome to Morning Manna, July the 20th, 2019. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that we can continue our study today, that you will continue to teach, and we will be able to absorb that which you have for us. We ask for the strength necessary and the memory, so that we will be able to apply those things that we learn. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today we've reached the 47th chapter of the book of Ezekiel, and we begin at verse 1. Afterward he brought me again unto the door of the house, and behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward. For the forefront of the house stood toward the east, and the waters came down from under, from the right side of the house, at the south side of the altar. Then brought he me out of the way of the gate northward, and led me about the way without unto the utter gate, by the way that looketh eastward, and behold, there ran out water on the right side. And when the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits. And he brought me through the waters were to the ankles. Again he measured 1,000, and brought me through the waters were to the knees. Again he measured 1,000, and brought me through, the waters were to the loins. Afterward he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass over, for the water was risen, water to swim in, a river that could not be passed over. And he said unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen this? Then he brought me and caused me to return to the brink of the river. Now when I had returned, behold, at the bank of the river were very many trees on the one side and on the other. Then said he unto me, These waters issue out toward the east country, and go down into the desert, and go into the sea, which being brought forth into the sea, the waters shall be healed. And it shall come to pass that everything that liveth, which moveth, whithersoever the river shall come, shall live. And there shall be a very great multitude of fish, because these waters shall come thither. For they shall be healed, and everything shall live whither the river cometh. And it shall come to pass that the fishers shall stand upon it from Edgel, even unto Enengleam. There shall be a place to spread forth nets. Their fish shall be according to their kinds, as the fish of the great sea, exceeding many. But the miry places thereof, and the marshes thereof, shall not be healed. They shall be given to salt. And by the river upon the bank thereof, on this side and on that side, shall grow all trees for meat, whose leaves shall not fade, neither shall the fruit thereof be consumed. It shall bring forth new fruit according to his months, because their waters they issued out of the sanctuary. And the fruit thereof shall be for meat, and the leaf thereof for medicine. Thus saith the Lord God, This shall be the border whereby ye shall inherit the land according to the 12 tribes of Israel. Joseph shall have 2 portions, and ye shall inherit it, one as well as another, concerning the which I lifted up mine hand to give it unto your fathers, and this land shall fall into your inheritance. And this shall be the border of the land toward the north side, from the great sea, the way of Hethlon, as men go to Zedad. Hamath, Berothath, Sebraim, which is between the border of Damascus and the border of Hamath, Hezaharion, which is by the coast of Haran, and the border from the sea shall be Hazarnaning, the border of Damascus, and the north northward, and the border of Hamath, and this is the north side. And the east side ye shall measure from Hamar, and from Damascus, and from Gilead, and from the land of Israel by Jordan, from the border unto the east sea. And this the east side, and the south side towards from Tamar, even to the waters of strife in Kadesh, the river to the great sea. And this is the south side southward. The west side also shall be the great sea from the border, till a man come over against Hamath. This is the west side. So shall ye divide this land unto you according to the tribes of Israel. And it shall come to pass that ye shall divide it by lot for an inheritance unto you, and to the strangers that sojourn among you, which shall beget children among you, and they shall be unto you as born in the country among the children of Israel. They shall have inheritance with you among the tribes of Israel. And it shall come to pass that in what tribe the stranger sojourneth, there shall ye give him an inheritance, saith the Lord God. Now notice here that God is prepared to share the land with those who have been drawn to the children of Israel, to the tribes who have learned how to worship the God of heaven. And they must be treated now as one, not put aside, not cast away, but treated as one. This is the work that God has called us to do, to bring those to Him by drawing them to us, so that our example might be a powerful example for them, so that they might follow that example and become children of God. Acts of the Apostles on page 12 and beginning at paragraph 1 says this: during ages of spiritual darkness, the Church of God has been as a city set on a hill. From age to age, through successive generations, the pure doctrines of heaven have been unfolding within its borders. Enfeebled and defective as it may appear, the Church is the one object upon which God bestows, in a special sense, His supreme regard. It is the theater of His grace, in which He delights to reveal His power to transform hearts. Whereunto, asks Christ, shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what comparison shall we compare it? Mark 4 and verse 30. He could not employ the kingdoms of the world as a similitude. In society He found nothing with which to compare it. Earthly kingdoms rule by the ascendancy of physical power, but from Christ's kingdom, every carnal weapon, every instrument of coercion is banished. This kingdom is to uplift and ennoble humanity. God's church is the court of holy life, filled with varied gifts and endowed with the Holy Spirit. The members are to find their happiness in the happiness of those whom they help and bless. Wonderful is the work which the Lord designs to accomplish through His church, that His name may be glorified. A picture of this work is given to Ezekiel in his vision of the river of healing. These waters issue out towards the east country and go down into the desert and go into the sea, which being brought forth into the sea, the waters shall be healed. And it shall come to pass that everything that liveth, which moveth, whithersoever the river shall come, shall live. And by the river upon the bank thereof, on this side and on that side, shall grow all trees for meat, whose leaf shall not fade, neither shall the fruit thereof be consumed. It shall bring forth new fruit according to his months, because their waters they issued out of the sanctuary, and the fruit thereof shall be for meat, and the leaf thereof for medicine. From the beginning, God has wrought through his people to bring blessing to the world. To the ancient Egyptian nation, God made Joseph a fountain of life. Through the integrity of Joseph, the life of that whole people was preserved. Through Daniel, God saved the life of all the wise men of Babylon. And these deliverances are as object lessons. They illustrate the spiritual blessings offered to the world through connection with the God whom Joseph and Daniel worshipped. Everyone in whose heart Christ abides, everyone who will show forth his love to the world, is a worker together with God for the blessing of humanity. As he receives from the Savior grace to impart to others, from his whole being flows forth the tide of spiritual life. God chose Israel to reveal his character to men. He desired them to be as wells of salvation in the world. To them were committed the oracles of heaven, the revelations of God's will. In the early days of Israel, the nations of the world, through corrupt practices, had lost the knowledge of God. They had once known him, but because they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, their foolish heart was darkened. Romans 1 and verse 21. Yet in his mercy, God did not blot them out of existence. He purposed to give them an opportunity of again becoming acquainted with him through his chosen people. Through the teachings of the sacrificial service, Christ was to be uplifted before all nations, and all who would look to him should live. Christ was to be uplifted before all nations, and Christ was the foundation of the Jewish economy. The whole system of types and symbols was a compacted prophecy of the gospel, a presentation in which were bound up the promises of redemption. But the people of Israel lost sight of their high privileges as God's representatives. They forgot God and failed to fulfill their holy mission. The blessings they received brought no blessings to the world. All the advantages they appropriated for their own glorification. They shut themselves away from the world in order to escape temptation. The restrictions that God had placed upon their association with idolaters as a means of preventing them from conforming to the practices of the heathen, they used to build up a wall of separation between themselves and all other nations. They robbed God of the service he required of them, and they robbed their fellow men of religious guidance and a holy example. Priests and rulers became fixed in a rut of ceremonialism. They were satisfied with a legal religion, and it was impossible for them to give to others the living truths of heaven. They thought their own righteousness all sufficient, and did not desire that a new element should be brought into their religion. The good will of God to men they did not accept as something apart from themselves, but connected it with their own merit because of their good works. The faith that works by love and purifies the soul could find no place for union with the religion of the Pharisees, made up of ceremonies and the injunctions of men. Of Israel, God declared, "I had planted thee a noble vine, holy a right seed. How then art thou turned into the degenerate plant of a strange vine unto me?" Jeremiah 2 and verse 21. Israel is an empty vine. He bringeth forth fruit unto himself. Hosea 10 and verse 1. "And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge, I pray you, betwixt me and my vineyard. What could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, brought it forth wild grapes? And now go to, I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away the hedge thereof, and it shall be eaten up, and break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down, and I will lay it waste. It shall not be pruned nor digged, but there shall come up briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. For the vineyards of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah his pleasant plant. And he looked for judgment, but behold oppression, for righteousness, but behold a cry." Isaiah 5 verses 3 through 7. "The diseased have ye not strengthened, neither have ye healed that which was sick. Neither have ye bound up that which was broken, neither have ye brought again that which was driven away, neither have ye sought that which was lost, but with force and with cruelty have ye ruled them." Ezekiel 34 and verse 4. The Jewish leaders thought themselves too wise to need instruction, too righteous to need salvation, too highly honored to need the honor that comes from Christ. The Savior turned from them to entrust to others the privileges they had abused and the work they had slighted. God's glory must be revealed, his word established. Christ's kingdom must be set up in the world. The salvation of God must be made known in the cities of the wilderness. Now the disciples were called to do the work that the Jewish leaders had failed to do. What a sad commentary. And we must today be so careful that we do not fall into the same flaw. For God has called us to be his church, but not just to sit at ease and to think how wonderful we are, but to spread the word. The commentary that we read just now tells us, God calls his disciples to do the work that the Jewish leaders had failed to do. Acts of the Apostles, page 17 and paragraph 1, in discussing the training of the 12 disciples, says this: "For the carrying on of his work, Christ did not choose the learning or eloquence of the Jewish Sanhedrin or the power of Rome. Passing by the self-righteous Jewish teachers, the master worker chose humble, unlearned men to proclaim the truth that were to move the world. These men he purposed to train and educate as the leaders of his church. They in turn were to educate others and send them out with the gospel message. That they might have success in their work, they were to be given the power of the Holy Spirit. Not by human might or human wisdom was the gospel to be proclaimed, but by the power of God. For 3.5 years, the disciples were under the instruction of the greatest teacher the world has ever known. By personal contact and association, Christ trained them for his service. Day by day they walked and talked with him, hearing his word of cheer to the weary and heavy laden, and seeing the manifestations of his power in behalf of the sick and the afflicted. Sometimes he taught them, sitting among them on the mountainside, sometimes beside the sea or walking by the way. He revealed the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Wherever hearts were open to receive the divine message, he unfolded the truths of the way of salvation. He did not command the disciples to do this or that, but said, 'Follow me.' On his journeys through country and cities, he took them with him, that they might see how he taught the people. They traveled with him from place to place. They shared his frugal fare, and like him were sometimes hungry and often weary. On the crowded streets, by the lakeside, in the lonely desert, they were with him. They saw him in every phase of life. It was at the ordination of the 12 that the first steps were taken in the organization of the church that after Christ's departure was to carry on his work in the earth. Of this ordination, the record says, 'He goeth up into the mountain and calleth unto him whom he would, and they came unto him. And he ordained 12 that they should be with him, and that he might send them forth to preach.' Mark 3 verses 13 and 14. Look upon the touching scene. Behold the majesty of heaven surrounded by the 12 whom he has chosen. He is about to set them apart for his work. By these feeble agencies, through his word and spirit, he designs to place salvation within the reach of all. With gladness and rejoicing, God and the angels beheld the scene. The Father knew that from these men the light of heaven would shine forth, that the words spoken by them as they witnessed for his Son would echo from generation to generation till the close of time. The disciples were to go forth as Christ's witnesses, to declare to the world what they had seen and heard of him. Their office was the most important to which human beings had ever been called, second only to that of Christ himself. They were to be workers together with God for the saving of men. As in the Old Testament, the 12 patriarchs stood as representatives of Israel, so the 12 apostles stand as representatives of the gospel church. During his earthly ministry, Christ began to break down the partition wall between Jew and Gentile and to preach salvation to all mankind. Though he was a Jew, he mingled freely with the Samaritans, setting at naught the Pharisaic customs of the Jews with regard to this despised people. He slept under their roofs, ate at their tables, and taught in their streets. The Savior longed to unfold to his disciples the truth regarding the breaking down of the middle wall of partition between Israel and the other nations, the truth that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs with the Jews and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. This truth was revealed in part at the time when he rewarded the faith of the centurion at Capernaum, and also when he preached the gospel to the inhabitants of Sychar. Still more plainly was it revealed on the occasion of his visit to Phoenicia, when he healed the daughter of the Canaanite woman. These experiences helped the disciples to understand that among those whom many regarded as unworthy of salvation, there were souls hungering for the light of truth. Thus Christ sought to teach the disciples the truth that in God's kingdom there are no territorial lines, no castes, no aristocracy, that they must go to all nations, bearing to them the message of a Savior's love. But not until later did they realize in all its fullness that God had made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. In these first disciples was presented marked diversity. They were to be the world's teachers, and they represented widely varied types of character. In order successfully to carry forward the work to which they had been called, these men, differing in natural characteristics and in habits of life, needed to come into unity of feeling, thought, and action. This unity it was Christ's object to secure. To this end, he sought to bring them into unity with himself. The burdens of his labor for them is expressed in his prayer to his Father, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. John 17, verses 21 and 23. This is God's call to us today, called to be servants, called to be messengers, called to be examples of his. Not just to absorb the truth and to keep it for ourselves, but to recognize that with everything that God has given us comes a responsibility to share it with those who are around us. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have called us. We ask today that you will remind us of our responsibility based upon that calling, so that we might go forward and carry the work forward as you would have us do it, that those with whom we come in contact might be drawn to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This has been Morning Manna, July the 20th, 2019.